This is a Deese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
This is Burr Martin of the Burr Martin Experience Podcast, or Selfie Dad as I'm known around the internet. Now, I could tell you all about my podcast by throwing in some special effects or sound bites, but I'm not going to do that, all right? I'm a busy man, brother. I'm a C-minus internet celebrity. Look, I've worked in radio for over 12 years. I've produced about 15 different shows. I worked in a comic book shop. I've done stand-up, hosted events, and I was even voted Hero of the Week in the UK. My podcast is co-hosted by my wife, and we talk about anything and everything. And occasionally, one of our three kids will interrupt to tell us what's going on in their generation. We talk about celebrities, politics, pop culture, and news stories you've probably never heard about. All right, we're radio friendly and we try and keep things upbeat. So join me every week for the Burr Martin Experience Podcast here on the Pants Pending Studios Network. That's Burr Martin. So put a BM in your podcast catcher today and it'll be who wrote the poop joke? I am a C-minus internet celebrity. Which one of you writers wrote that? You go back and you work for Late Night with Chevy Chase. That won't fly here.
You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
That's why I tell every new girlfriend I have, like, yeah, I accidentally bit one of my ex-girlfriend's labias off, so no eating pussy for me.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Deese World Studios in Spokane, Washington, this is the social hour. On today's show, Deese sits down one-on-one with comedian Philip Kobzinski. And now your host. He hopes he gets in trouble for all the horrible things he said on his podcast, just like Shane Gillis did, because at least then he'd know that people are listening. Deese Casillas.
Economical. Also, that I feel like that splitter is—it looks like a tuner.
That's the cheapest part of that whole thing. That yeah. Wasn't even that. That thing was that was that used to be a toy. That was a Barbie.
Yeah, that looks.
I did that into a splitter.
It looks like you bought a Cadillac and then put one of those fur-lined steering wheel covers onto it. Like,
I just painted it. I just stole the Cadillacs. Like those. Remember people used to steal the. Like the hood ornament
yeah.
off of things and then
yeah it looks like you
car.
Stole your own hood ornament and then hung it from a rearview mirror
in my own car. There's yeah. Missing the hood ornament.
Yeah, and the way you hung it was with a garter that you caught.
I actually used to own a Jaguar and someone stole my fucking hood with a Jaguar off the front of my car. I was so mad.
Those are almost unstealable now, right?
The Jaguars,
all those hood ornaments.
I don't know. Well, BMW went to where it's just flat on the hood instead of something sticking out.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can't steal. I mean, you could probably pry it off somehow. It seems like
I can't imagine having so much extra money where I'm like, I know what needs to be fancy in my life. My car.
My car. Yeah. Well.
I give so little shits about it. I mean, I don't know. I start to, my cars start to get so terrible, man. Like my car smells like a cat abortion. Like sometimes it's just, I don't know if you've ever been in a garage where a cat gave a bunch of births to and to like other baby
cats. That's not how abortions work.
Well,
I'm not sure. Listen, I don't know what
couple
Christian
of, well, it's usually
up.
Postnatal.
I want to know in a cat abortion is it a person or is another cat giving that cat an abortion?
Oh man, an abortion like just means clinic. A terminated pregnancy. So it's not always like on purpose, you know? But yeah,
that to Jesus. Okay, that's not what Jesus thinks.
Man, if you spend enough time with animals and give them birth, then you.
I do. Lots of time, for plenty of time.
It's pretty hard to believe in God. It's like, you know, there's. I mean, we had puppies getting stepped on by horses, and like the cat, you know, the cats would like just take one. Like one of their
Liz, I'm not here to kink
just...
shame you, Phil. Whatever you get off on, okay? You do what you got to do.
Yeah, it was weird.
Have you ever thought about the fact that in over billions of years of evolution of mankind, the best way for a baby to born is still to rip a woman in half, just like burst out of her fucking vagina. Like, you'd think they'd have like a little baby box. You just open a door, it's a fully formed baby, like with its fucking college tuition already paid.
They do, like, man, but a lot of women don't want that scar.
That's we could fix a scar. Jesus Christ.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of, what are the cesarean scars? It's after a while, it's definitely still there. Your best way to deal with it is just put like put a couple extra scars above the belly button, then it looks like you just got that sort of unhappy but also not happy face. You just turn your torso into kind of a face.
Isn't that what the pregnancy does, just with the stretch marks anyway?
Have you ever, do you know how, you ever seen a cesarean video? Are we recording right now?
Yeah.
Okay, have you ever seen a cesarean video?
Yeah, we've been recording since you got here.
it's only like a 4 or 5 inch like incision, and then they just stretch everything open.
Oh, yeah, they just take your guts and like put it on the table, basically. Right?
Yeah. They wash them down a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's better than a episiotomy. Have you ever seen that? They take those,
we're outside of my vocabulary right now, man.
They've got these scissors, and they make a woman's two holes into one hole. They just like snip the whole bottom.
Wait, like, what's an episiotomy?
An episiotomy is when they take the vaginal canal, and they have these scissors that are like angled, right? They're like not a 90-degree angle, and they go into the and then cut down towards the
butthole,
the rectum.
Yeah, yeah.
And they make one giant
cavern.
Well,
it's better to make the incision than to have it all like blow up, and then it's because it's easier to stitch an incision than a.
Well, yeah. I mean, plus doctors don't like using the word blow up. What happened? Well, we're gonna blow
your
up
vagina. Your vagina blew up. Yeah.
Give me the TNT, pussy TNT. We're gonna blow up that vagina. You have two kids, right?
Yeah,
two?
Yeah, dose.
Man, I can't even imagine. I have no kids, and I couldn't imagine having one kid.
You have a dog, man. It's not the same thing, but.
I can drop her off at a shelter, and there's no questions asked.
Yo, man.
I don't even have to fill out paperwork.
Same here. I mean, there's a lot more judgment on society's end, but if I take my son down to the fire station and I'm like, listen, can you be one of you now? Because I got shit to do. They'll figure it out.
They have a safe haven. There's safe havens at all the fire stations in the hospital. You just drop them off. They have like a little drop box. You just put them in.
Yeah, they did. Safe space, no judgment here. And I was like, yo, daddy.
Yeah, he knows
daddy wants
home
to go have fun.
He's an Eagle Scout. He'd follow the son home. Mm-hmm. He'd figure it out.
Yeah, they're pretty self-sufficient. I mean, that's the hard thing. Like, now that he's 15, there are times when I'm like, listen, dude, you probably know the answer on how to parent you better than I do right now. So, like, why don't you just chime in?
What do you think? What's dope with the kids these days? What do you?
I think there's something to that, because he'll be like, he'll probably try to say something that he'll think I accept.
Yeah.
And then, so maybe he's like leaving a lot more on the table than I would have, you know. It's like if you're buying, you know, it's like if you if someone's like, hey, well, you want to do a gig, how much you charge? You're like, what's the budget?
Right. Yeah.
And then you might find out you'll make more money than you think, man. But how much money you got?
I did a corporate gig last year, and when they asked me what I'd charge, and I told them, and they instantly, it was immediately like, yeah, sounds good. And I'm like, oh, fuck. How much money did I leave on the table there? And it's a teaching moment, though, because I'm like, all right, just go high. You know, if it's too much, you can always like, well, you know, you can go down, but you can't be like, well, can I get more than what I asked for originally?
Yeah, that ain't happened. Well, that's the thing. I get asked, I'm on this system that I just submit a bid, and then I have to write a message, and I don't get hardly anything. I mean, I doubt I get even 10% of what I send out there. And sometimes I'm like, is it because I quoted too little, or is it because I quoted too high, or is it just they didn't want me? I have no idea. So there's some times where I'll like, there's one time where I'm like, I'm just gonna quote this really high because this sounds weird.
Yeah,
and then I get it, and I'm like, well, what was that? Is that because? They were like, oh, this guy must be good if he's pausing to quote this much. What a maniac.
He's asking for that. Yeah, he's clearly a professional.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
I suppose that's true. You have to put a price where it sounds like, because if if everyone else is bidding like say $1,500, you're like, I'll do it for $250. They're like, what the fuck is wrong with
yeah, who's this why guy? Exactly.
Yeah, why are you email? How'd you get our email?
This is a Harbor Freight comedian?
Yeah, did you what AOL disk did you use to get online to email us for this shit? How is it? I want to ask you how I've been meaning. This is something I want to start getting into with comics, especially. But how is it with kids? Because you're married, you have kids. How is that with comedy life? I mean, how did your relationships change? I mean, how did that change as you start doing comedy more? You're on the road.
I'm on the road about twice a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
So home half the time.
Well, yeah, and that's just weekends. I mean, I don't leave for days on end. You know, that's why it's nice to book clubs.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So, you know, there was a point a few years ago where it's like, and I've talked to other comics who have families about this, where it's like, you have to have like the talk, like you have to be like, all right, what is this? Yeah.
Daddy's going to be slaying pose on the side.
Well, but there is a reality of like, because there's a point where it's like, are you going to be going out to open mics every night still? Are you a bar fly or a comic? You know, it's like, what are you? And what is this? And what's the plan here? And, I think a few years ago, I was just like trying to take as much gigs as I possibly could there was a year that I barely made any money at the end of the year, and I had performed in like 214 paid shows. And I think I pretty much broke even, because I was doing everything. I took everything I would, and that was only because I had a couple of good corporate gigs at the end of the year, but I was emceeing all over. I was taking everything, and a lot of it was just to get better, but I was also like trying to understand like how do you. And I think there's something to not just taking gigs constantly, because it's like, if I give myself 2 weeks off a month, then I'm like living my life a little bit, and I have more shit to write about.
Yeah.
And I have time to kind of reset and choose my gigs a little better, rather than just feel the need to take every single thing that comes
at
me.
Any money that's thrown at you.
Right. And half the time it's not profitable anyway, because I'm dry, you know, going there. So I'd almost rather, I'm like, well, if I'm going to be barely making any money doing bar gigs around my area, why not travel the country and try to like showcase and work my way up at different clubs and only do it twice a month? So yeah, we had that talk where it was like, let's make that schedule a little more realistic. And then I have 2 weekends open that typically fill in with little kind of bar gigs or a corporate gig or some little thing here and there. Or I get to submit auditions for like commercials or whatever. So it's, or maybe I try to make videos for online, or I get to pursue something. So it just gives me more time to kind of like relax rather than, and write. And I don't know, man, I wish there are times when I'm not working and I'm like, it's kind of driving me crazy. Cause I that's the hard thing, is I like comedy so much. I want to be up on stage regularly. And that, I think that kind of addiction and desire for whatever that is, like, can screw up your relationship more than almost than going on the road. If I can go on the road and you can be home, and then you're home when you're home, that's way easier. But it's the hardest thing for me, I think, right now is like the perception of what I do for the other fathers that I meet. It's
like, you do, wait, you're so you just, I don't on even the road do, doing comedy,
dude. I don't tell anybody. Like, I think at one point somebody was like, oh, are you going on another comedy vacation? I'm like, man, go fuck yourself, dude. This one dude, I mean, it's funny, like, I had talked to him before, and I think he had a head injury or something, so that wasn't too judgmental. But he was like, so we were talking about, he had heard that I do comedy, he was a Boy Scout dad. And he was like, and he talked my ear off about it. Like, he grew up in LA and he loved all these comics and this and that. And he was a degenerate when he was a kid, and then he got clean, and his wife. Anyway, he's giving me his whole life story. And so then I ran into him months later, and he's like, so you still doing that comedy thing? Is it like a thing, or he's just kind of a midlife crisis? And
it could be both.
I'm like, dude, this guy is cutting to the core. He's like seeing through the illusion. Obviously, we're not Facebook friends, or he'd know I'm crushing it, dog.
haven't been able to afford my Corvette yet, but it's coming.
Yeah, man. I was like, dude, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, I mean, I file taxes. I don't pay him. You know, like there's none to be paid. I'm not making enough where I have to pay him, but I do have to show that I don't have to pay him. Like if that matters.
Look, I took a loss again.
I haven't done that yet. I haven't had to take like a loss, but it's definitely like you're able to show an income that's not taxable. So there's a point where I was like, I got to try to make sure that this, because there's a point where it's like you can't justify filing, or you can't justify writing shit off if it's a hobby business for too long.
Yeah.
So yeah, there, because that's the thing is like there's some expenses where I'm like, well, I want this thing to be paid for and this thing to be paid for. I want to write off certain expenses. You know, I want to write off my camera. I want to write off my laptop. I want to write off all this shit. And that's but you can't just write shit off with some kind of fake business that has no income.
Yeah, there's got to be something in there where they're, you're like, how are you losing this money? Why, where's it going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, what were we talking about? Oh,
the family. In fact, what advice would you give to new comics regarding relationships and how to handle their relationships with, you know, if they're getting into comedy and how.
Do they have a relationship currently?
Let's say they do.
Yeah. Okay. Because that's the only perspective that I can come from. I don't know, man. Like, first of all, you gotta have a very understanding spouse. I mean, because if you're starting out and you're going out to 5-6 open mics a week or just trying to get stage time,
which really, if you're starting out and you really want to do it, that's kind of the only way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is you be doing it 5 nights a week, you know?
I think so. I mean, certainly your first year, you should be on stage as much as humanly possible. And that's a very understanding spouse, like to just be like, oh, okay, well, and then, you know, I would also, you know, there were a couple of times, man, I came home and I'm like boozed up a little bit and I'm like, good set. And she's like, yeah, what the f- are you even like, are you even doing comedy? You're just going out partying.
And it could be both.
Yeah. Well, especially when like Spokane comedy was like kind of before the club opened and it was sort of like there were all these mics popping up. It was really bustling, I think, before the A-list club started. And a ton of those mics, I don't know if you were doing comedy back then, but like a ton of those mics were so happy to have comics show up.
Yeah.
That they would give you booze and food just for doing the mic.
Just being for showing up to a mic. Can you imagine if that was the case now? You got booze and food just for showing up to a mic?
Oh, dude. I mean, it was like, I remember I could go out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday nights and get like, I'd have like a $20 tab at each place. Like Nito was giving out a $15 tab for anyone that you wanted. You could get a beer and a burrito.
For everyone that went up?
Everybody that went up.
Jesus
little,
Christ.
Yeah, dude, yeah, that ended pretty quick. That, I don't know, that lasted for almost a year, but yeah, you'd be like, I don't want my burrito. So they're like, all right, how about 3 beers?
Even better.
Yeah. And then Chan's would give you like, they'd give you booze and then they start giving you like gift cards.
Right.
And I still have like $30 of gift cards from this.
I wonder if you can still use them.
I don't know. So
hey, Vince, I want to use these.
But I did. I remember thinking like, and Chan's used to have Red Bull on tap.
That's why everyone's in there is doing Coke. Why do they need Red Bull?
Calm them down.
Yeah, my heart rate's too fast. I need some sugar in there to
probably because I think that place used to be a heroin bar, so maybe it was kind of like a.
Even them out, get back. Just so they can shoot their shot at pool.
There was this one dude that used to come in with this. I don't know if it was like a crazy lazy eye or a full on like fucked up glass eye, because it would just be like wiggling and like jostling about in a socket.
Could you tell it was a fake eye?
I don't know, fake eye. I don't know how to diagnose that shit, dude.
I think you could tell.
It looked like a fucking marble swirling around in his.
Maybe he's just constantly having a stroke. He's just in.
Well, whatever it was, every time this guy showed up with his like eyeball just wobbling about, they were immediately like, "Hey, you get the fuck out of here!" Get like
a wobbly eye wasn't allowed.
No, because that place used to be like a big heroin and a hooker bar. Like before
used to be.
Well, during that open mic, kind of cleaned up because they do the that belly dancing.
Yeah,
show up early. And
oh
like,
yeah, it still happens. It's great.
Wait, really? I haven't been there for.
They just started it back up again. It was gone for the summer. But my favorite thing about Chan's was, do you remember the street meat guy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw him in the street meets. And also the oils. Well, there was a guy that would sell oils.
There was a guy, he'd go across the street to Grocery Outlet and steal meat. steal their, like, packaged beef. And then he'd try and sell it to you at a discounted price out of his backpack.
Oh, yeah, the backpack meat guy. Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, come on, man. And he's selling you. He's like, hey, man, this is $6. I give you a $4.50. I'm like, that's been in your backpack for a day and a half, man. Do you know how much I'm going to have to cook that?
You go invest in a stolen refrigerator backpack, buddy.
Yeah, something at least. Come on, this is that epitomizes Jan's and how great Jan's is, though.
I have not been there for a while. I feel like it's worth going there to experience. Like, that's a good skill set to have, to understand how to deal with a crowd that is going berserk and,
yeah,
you know what I mean,
like, and definitely doesn't give a shit about you.
Yeah, it's a great experience. Like, it's a great place to go up with a game plan and then completely throw away the game plan.
Right. Realize that. Yeah. It's one of those places that I feel like comics should do. After the last couple of years of all the things, all the places Michael and I have gone together, I'm immune to a shitty gig. You cannot phase me.
I feel like when you're getting paid, there's something in your back of your head. They're like, well, at least I'm.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to do my time. And I'm getting paid. I don't really give a shit. It's different if there's an audience and they're not enjoying it. That's different. But when there's like an audience or like some people who aren't paying attention or it's comedy adjacent in the corner of a room, you're like, all right, this is fine. Like, I'm going to do my gig. I robotically went through 30 minutes of material while watching an NBA playoffs game because there was no one listening. I literally just sat there and watched the game and just rattled off my set. Didn't even wait for it. I knew no one was listening or laughing. So I'm just do the joke, keep going. I was just repeating it to no one. And then I'm like, all right, thanks guys. Put the mic down and left.
So, okay. So you want to talk about families, shitty gigs. So I just, I was gone for about 3 weeks in a row. Not 3 weeks straight, but like every weekend for 3 weeks. One of them was fairly like Wednesday to Sunday. And then I was gone from like Thursday to Sunday. And somebody canceled on this gig in I don't know, I think it was Wenatchee. It's this little bar gig on a Tuesday. And so I hit up Amanda and I'm like, hey, you know, they had a cancellation. They don't know who else they're going to go to. So I'm like, I'm going to go do this. It's, you know, like it's decent money or whatever. And she was like so bummed out, and it was so sad because it was like, you just been gone all this time, we were gonna hang out Tuesday, and I'm driving down there and I'm like, dude, what am I doing, man? This is so stupid. Like, I don't know anything about this gig. Like, what's the point of me doing this? I show up and it is clearly an undeveloped room, and I realize we're like maybe the third people to do it. TVs are on, the sound system shitty, we're on top of literally pallets. And there's not a lot of comics in Wenatchee, so it was like a lady that occasionally does comedy that's emceeing, you know. And I'm like, this is a really underdeveloped room, and Adam Lucky is middling. He goes up. It's not, nobody's paying attention. I mean, nobody, like, the closest audience.
Oh, wait, was this at Badger Mountain?
I believe so. Yeah, it's
the
brewery. Yeah, it's right downtown.
A couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, right downtown.
It was like the second week, I think.
Okay, so yeah, it's brand new. I thought it was an established room, you know.
Yeah,
and I the closest audience member, like, people walked immediately as the show starts, and the closest audience member is going to be 10-15 feet away. And when I was like, when I saw the reality of what that show was going to be, I'm like, oh no, like, I giving up like the time that I was supposed to be home for this, and then
closer to divorce for one step closer to.
Well, the worst part was I'm watching Adam, who's always seemed every time I've seen him, he's enjoying himself. Like, he tells these, even if the jokes aren't going well, because Adam is a real vile comic. He says really dark shit, and he was not having fun. Like, he was clearly not having fun. I think at one point he was like, this might be the last show before I kill myself. Like, he was fucking having a terrible time. And there was a point like 15 minutes into the set where I'm like, oh man, it's been a while since I've done one of these. Like, but I'm excited.
Yeah,
like, I'm gonna have a great time.
It's like the old days.
If we can string together 10 of these in a month, man, that would be dope. Like, it'd be the most profitable month.
I'm gonna have to start paying taxes on this.
Yeah, so I was like getting excited. That's when I was, part of me was like, man, I'm fucked. Like, if I'm looking forward to this, I was off stage and I was like, oh boy, this is gonna be fun. Like I'm gonna go up. I'm just gonna do my set and they'll, I don't know if they're gonna like me or not like me. And I go up and there were times during the set where I was like, this is so shitty, but I'm having a great time. And I mean, the people were into it that were watching. You know, it went as well as it could have gone. I actually wound up selling more merch there than I do at packed houses sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, so it was a wild. That I was driving away from that, and I was like, "Fuck, man! Like, is this the point where I realize like this is I'm definitely committed to stand up because like everything would have been terrible about that, and it's like I still really enjoyed myself. It's like you hear food addicts realize they have a problem when they eat like an entire loaf of white bread,
right? I don't even like that.
I don't even like white
I'm
bread.
I'm allergic to gluten.
Are they just sitting there just eating just like a can of garbanzo beans?
Right. No.
I don't know what I just want the feeling.
I just ate dry rice. Like that's it.
Kitty litter's edible. Fuck it.
it is weird. So let me ask you that. Have the longer you do it, how does, because someone told me years ago that the more you do comedy, the less like real life. It's harder to deal with real life, like unless you fucking care about actual things in real life. Do you find that as you go deeper into comedy that like really it's more about just the next comedy? Are you still involved in?
I think that is a pitfall, and I think I have definitely succumbed to that pitfall. But that's where you start seeing your personal relationships break down. You'll start seeing, you know, people who aren't comics don't want to talk to you. Because they're like, this guy won't shut the fuck up about his next thing or comedy or what the joke. I mean, that's the image of what a stand-up comic is. You know, like, hey, I'm a wacky guy. What's up, everybody? Hey, yeah, come to my show. You know, it's kind of like, I mean, if I'm not working and I'm at like a social engagement, like, I don't want to be talking about stand-up. If somebody want to ask me, then I'll talk about it. But there's times where if someone asks me a couple questions and I can fucking see them gloss over a little bit, and I'm like, oh God, dude, I'm way too inside
baseball.
Yeah,
I'm going too
right
deep.
Yeah,
I gotta go.
Yeah, I gotta get out of
here. Gotta pull the ripcord.
Yeah, that's where,
this.
I mean, it's almost like you need, you know, it's like I saw, I did a show and I saw the guy open for me, talk to an audience member who was like, oh, so like, you know, like I really like that one joke. And then he had this conversation and dude, he went on for, it was like he was keeping her hostage for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And I knew the girl. It was like one of Amanda's high school sorority sisters. And afterwards, I'm like, hey, you're talking to my friend over there. And he's like, I didn't even know that was her name. Like, fucking talked to her 20 minutes.
Right.
And they didn't even get her name. He doesn't know shit about her. He was just him monologuing about himself and his jokes and how he wrote it and what he did. And she didn't ask him any of that shit.
Right.
She was like, I like that one joke about pins or whatever the fuck it was.
There is a lot of comedians who I find when I talk, I hesitate to even say talk with them because you almost end up like they're talking to you. Like
yeah,
it doesn't matter
you.
Who,
yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who you are. Well, you could be a fucking mop handle and they'd be like just having the same conversation. And there's no actually engagement. Like, oh man. Yeah, that was one of the things that was hard for me. I kept trying to find that balance of like, but also I grew up Catholic, so I assume nobody gives a shit about anything I do.
Yeah, that's good. They don't. Nobody, you'll die and no one will care. I mean, that's the reality of being alive.
Yeah, so let's just kill ourselves now. All right. So I don't ever want to talk about it. I'm like, when people ask me, like I was out with a friend the other day and they started asking me, like, I'm like, I don't want to talk about comedy. And I'm like, can we talk about anything but comedy? Like, I don't give a shit, just whatever, let's not do that. And I'm like, oh, this is great, this is like a break from actually
digging. This is great. Oh shit, this is what real life is. Yeah. Like the sun is shining through the blinds, you're like, oh,
like,
my god, there's things outside.
It's like Neo coming out of the Matrix.
Yeah,
I'm unplugging that thing from the back of my fucking head, crawling out of the purple ooze.
Well, and I mean just me personally, like if I can actually have authentic experiences, it will give me a much better way to, yeah, I'll have something to process to write about.
Right.
You know, it's like after a while, I mean, it's just, I just can't imagine being like, okay, let's look around. Coasters. I'm going to write some jokes about coasters or whatever. Like, like give me a noun and I'm going to write 2 minutes about it. I used to do that kind of stuff a lot. Now I just, it feels so inauthentic, and it seems a lot better for me just to write about like either shit that I'm obsessed with or shit that like that I've experienced, you know? And the only way I can really have that is by just being alone and having thoughts or having experiences.
Yeah, that are outside of comedy. It is a balance. And I've been trying the times I'm able to do that more, I find that I'm better in the other things I'm doing anyway. Like, I'm more relaxed. I feel better. My mind's at ease. I can write. I've had some things to mull over instead of just being like, I'm fucking stage to stage saying the next shit and fucking dealing with the same people. That just, it's a weird.
Yeah, you got to go have a nice ponder.
A little woods ponder.
You got to go do some figuring.
All right. So on this show, we have a segment that I don't think we've done this. When was the last time you were here? It's been a while, huh?
Oh, man. Odd 16. What, dude? I get lost when people ask. So it's Tuesday, 2019, September. Yeah, all right.
We've got a segment we call the rundown, where we ask a series of questions.
Is this like fast paced?
No, you can do it as slow.
Oh,
as you
thank
want.
God. Okay, yeah, I'm gonna take a breath.
No, but it's a series of questions. Singly they don't say much, but together it creates the profile of a serial killer. So depending on how they're answered,
man, I don't know, man.
So
this doesn't go to a database, does it?
Everything goes into a database.
That's why I don't do 23andMe.
It's on the internet, man. Yeah, what fucking idiot. You know what I love is the people who have committed crimes and then put their 23andMe.
No, man, they don't even need to do that now. It's like if it's someone that's within two, like if it's your cousin that does it, they can triangulate the genetics.
What?
And they'll, yeah, that's how they caught the California,
the Golden State Killer.
That's how they, yeah, it wasn't him. It was like his cousin. And then they went to his cousin,
Christ.
And they're like, hey, give me the names of all your cousins, because they can tell how related that close. Yeah, and
that's
so then
insane.
They, yeah, man, yeah, that's
it, how far away are we from just taking a DNA sample from everyone when they're born?
Well, I mean, I'm surprised there aren't countries that are currently doing it. You know,
maybe there are.
I mean, is China doing that?
North
shit,
Korea,
you know?
Probably is.
Yeah, man, what are they? I don't know, man. They can't even, like, do cataract surgeries very well over there. Like, Doctors Without Borders went over there and did all these cataract surgeries.
Really?
Like, yeah, and because they didn't have the fucking machines. And, or the
what are they using to do them then?
They weren't. The people were walking around with cloudy eyeballs over there. And what was crazy, so the guy, this, like, miracle doctor from India.
You can just say doctor from India.
So he was working, like, 17-hour days. He was doing, he did, like, 250 a day. He did 1,000 cataract surgeries in under a week. It just, people just lined up, just boom, 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 boom.
Jesus
doing
Christ.
Yeah, so what was crazy, so then he stuck around for the first round of patients to take off their eye bandages. It was about 3 days. So he sticks around for that, and the first round, they take it off, and it's him right there, and you'd think they'd be like, oh my God, I can see you again. Thank you, doctor. They go, oh my God, I can see you again, and they go right to the image of Kim Jong-un, it was Kim Jong-un at the time. And they were like, oh, thank you, dear leader, for giving me back my sight. Like, they didn't even acknowledge the doctor who did it.
Well, yeah. You know, Kim Jong sent the doctor.
Yeah, right.
Quick tangent. Do you know what macular degeneration is?
Yeah, yeah.
So when you have macular degeneration, they have this thing they put over your eye, and they put a needle right through in the middle of your eyeball, yeah, into your eye. How could you do that? I feel like I would. Like, you see it. It's coming down at your eyeball. You have to do it once a month.
Once a month?
It happened, yeah, with bad.
Don't they give you a drop that makes you...
Yeah, you still get a fucking needle in your eye.
Yeah, but if you can't see it come... I think the drop makes it so you can't see.
Oh, man. I just feel like I just go blind.
How would you not... Care. What I don't get is how do they keep your eyeball from moving about?
I have no idea. I don't know. Like
know,
the little Ludovico machine, like in Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, yeah. But your eyeball would still...
Rotate,
you know, like, yeah, rotate, yeah, around. Yeah, I don't know if it was that or going blind. I think
maybe that's what happened to that guy from Chance. They,
yeah,
fucked
they fucked up his mac. Yeah, he started looking around and that needle was inside there. I don't know, man. It's like it's, you hear about people who fuck up their urethra and then they gotta, like, catheter themselves all the time.
That's the thing, man.
Yeah. I mean, if you
just have a fucked up urethra. I just be like, listen, I'm peeing out of three holes now. That's what happens.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Getting old is real tough, man. I think you gotta just take care of yourself as much beforehand.
I'm past that. There's no recovery. I can't drink enough Gatorade to get back to.
I used to work with this guy at a newspaper, and he was like. He was like our Dwight Schrute. Like he had like a traditional Celtic. He was a white guy with a traditional Celtic haircut. Like he allowed the he was shaved except for his back patch that he was trying to grow out.
Yeah.
And his shirts looked like he just picked them up every day from like a wrinkly thing.
Right.
And he would show up, and I'm just like, how the fuck does this guy go and conduct interviews? Like we were the same like beat reporters. And one day I saw him take a contact out of his eyeball, put it in his mouth, swish it around in his mouth, and then dust off like a little bit of spittle and put it back in his. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, actually, you know, your mouth has a can fight bacteria. I'm like, dude, you're not supposed to put the shit in your... You're not supposed to have any bacteria in your... Yeah, man. And so that guy, like that guy, you know, he's not treating his body right, you know?
Dude, listen, nothing says I'm not going to live past 45 when you're like, you're watching the sun come up and you're going to the ATM to buy more cocaine. Like that's a whole nother level of like.
Wait, are you, now we're in your personal experiences?
No, I mean, I'm not saying me personally, but not necessarily. I don't know the statutes of limitations on that.
I don't know. The Celtic guy wasn't doing coke. He was just doing that thing with his eyeball.
No, I've done all the drugs and alcohol. There's no saving this. This vessel is fucked beyond belief.
Well, I don't. I mean, you got to eat good. We're doing sparkling black cherries. What are you, 36?
Yeah, you can't start getting healthy at 36 after 25 years of drug and alcohol abuse.
I don't know, man. It depends. You probably piss and fuck good. I mean, I don't know, dude. Like, I'm not a doctor. Like, but I feel like if you just drink water and eat fruits every once in a while, like, you're probably okay. Do you eat a lot of fast food?
No, I don't eat fast food. I don't drink soda. I don't eat fast
food.
Dude,
soda fast food will fuck you up worse than
eight balls of
booze.
Cocaine.
I don't know, man. I've seen, look at people who fucking drink soda every day,
yeah,
compared to like a cokehead who, you know, eats a bowl of fruit every once in a while.
Sure,
I'd rather be the cokehead.
Arnie Lang's still alive.
But Arnie Lang just did it all. I mean, he was eating like shit, drinking. I think he was dabbling in heroin.
Yeah, oh yeah, he was snorting heroin.
Oh,
that's how his nose collapsed. You seen his nose?
Yeah, it's a Plato project gone wrong, man. That's fucked up.
All right, what are we doing? Oh, the rundown. So okay. All right, if you could travel anywhere in the world, all expenses paid, wherever you wanted to go, all expenses paid, you anywhere in the world, but you had to go travel with the person you hate the most in life, where would you go and who would that person be?
Man, I don't know who I hate.
Everyone hates someone, Phil. Come on.
All right. I don't...
Or dislike.
Who would the person be?
Yeah.
What do you like? What, I'm gonna drop someone's name.
I'll edit it out in post.
No, I'm not gonna say it. Okay. I'm not gonna say the person who I hate. I don't know. Maybe I go to like Hawaii and throw them in a volcano. Like that seems like a nice thing. And then you're like, I get to enjoy my time here now. But I don't know how I'm gonna get them because they're gonna want to hang out with me. They hate me too. You know what I mean?
It's like one of those Freaky Friday situations or something. Maybe you guys switch bodies and now you piss in the same volcano. Lightning strikes. Switch bodies. Now you gotta stick with each other until you figure it out.
I don't know. Maybe, but well, but that's a hard thing. Nobody knows the supernatural laws of. I think the people I hate would probably like my body and be with my body. You know, so
they wouldn't want it.
They would be happy. Yeah. I would hate their bodies. So I don't know. Maybe I would just jump in the volcano.
And then just be done with it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's hard, man. Like, you're talking about... I mean, what are the rules of the supernatural thing? And we don't know any of the rules, so I guess...
You gotta learn the rules.
You know what? I think we would become friends and just reconcile our differences. We'd probably have a good chat about the things that went wrong in our relationship and probably... You know, we'd probably get closer after the whole thing, especially after we saw... Because we'd see each other naked, basically, because I'd see their body, they'd see my body naked, and I
play
feel
with
like that...
Your, yeah, explore each other's bodies individually.
But separately, you know?
Yes. And, or, you know, however, you know...
Yeah, dude, how crazy would that be to be in someone else's body and then have sex with yourself?
That's like, we're not that far off from that.
How wild would it be to be in a woman's body and have sex with you yourself as a man, right? Dude, we, you know what?
That, what if you could find, you could, you might find out that you're really bad at sex. You're like, I am not as good at this as I thought.
Well, I mean, it's the first time I'm in a woman's body. How would I don't know how to do a woman's body good.
Oh, yeah. I guess, well, yeah, because there's someone else in your body now.
Yeah, it would be interesting to experience it. Well, I think we could have like a low-tech version of that right now. Because, you know, the porn in the like you
the
can
ocular
put,
VR.
Yeah,
stuff.
So the VR shit that's all POV. I think I think what's going to happen is you're going to have like a basically a pocket pussy that will coincide with that. And like, so that's the real life like hardware that'll coincide to the avatar. You know what I mean? That like you can lean back and then it'll just mimic what's happening on the screen.
Right.
You
I
know?
Think they already have stuff like that. They have VR porn.
The VR porn, but then I don't think the hardware that actually attaches to you is with you. So, like, you're still in control of the hardware. So,
what do we think of these sex dolls?
That's the next step is then you get, you basically, why couldn't a sex doll be like, a low tech avatar that, I mean, if I was a female porn star right now trying to like try make as much bank in 10 or 15 years or however long their careers are, 6 months,
yeah,
where they swirl down the toilet.
A couple months is all.
Yeah, but I mean, some of those ladies seem to be pretty worth it. Like they're kind of like, what would you call it? Entrepreneurs.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
they spin off. Yeah, some of them, you know, they start selling kitchenware.
Some of them, I mean, some porn stars will, you know, they'll do a fuck ton of movies and then they'll go on a stripping tour and make a ton of money and then they'll maybe come out with a sex toy or something.
Well, a lot of them.
And they'll build up their social media following.
They literally do. They have like Christy Canyon, so like molds their pussy done.
Yeah,
and stuff like that.
And
they sell those.
So why couldn't you? If you were a female doing that, why not just go as high end as possible, get a sex doll of yourself made.
Yeah,
and then film a video that corresponds to that sex doll, so that then someone's wearing the VR mask.
Yeah,
and then or maybe even they're not even they don't even need the VR mask. Maybe they're like they're like doing you the way. That I guess they could wear the VR mask, and then they can see in the VR, and they know how they're supposed to respond. Or maybe they watch the movie, and they're like, "Oh, I'll have sex, but I have to do the sex the same way that guy's doing it." And then they just mimic it, and then they're basically now. Granted, it would be like
this doesn't seem like the first time you thought of
this. Oh, dude, I cannot stop. Every time, like, every time I think about it, I'm like, "How the fuck have I not heard this idea? How is this not happening already?" Like. Basically, you could do it in a low-tech version where it's like a scripted thing where, you know, she has the same movements. Or maybe you pick 3 routines or 5 routines or whatever. And
one if you're a Christian.
Well, yeah, I'm sure the Christian market on these sex doll avatar sex dolls are going to be real big. But you could go ahead and blabbity blue. Oh, man, yeah. Man. I gotta bounce. How much longer is this going to be?
We can wrap up in the next few minutes.
Oh, shit. Okay, yeah, we probably should do that. Okay. So
sex dolls.
Oh yeah, well, I'm pretty much that's pretty much all the thoughts I have on that. But I'm surprised. I don't know if people don't. I mean, it's probably got to be a big investment. Those things cost like $50,000, and you'd have to get an investor. But I'm sure you could get someone that wants it for themselves.
Yeah,
you know, and you'd have to have. It's the guy who made like the pocket pussy is a guy who's not really that into masturbating, but he saw the market. And was like,
this will make a kill.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, and this guy made a shit ton of money, and he was in, and there's an automated version, and he was like, yeah, we
here's the problem with the pocket pussy, though. The cleanup on a pocket pussy seems like a nightmare. Like, mine would be one and done, or like 3 and done, you know, because eventually it collects up in there, and I'm like, I just don't want.
I mean, I've never seen one in real life. I got to imagine you can flip them inside out and just hose it off and.
I'd be too lazy for that, man. I just want to. I'd be like,
I don't think people buying a pocket pussy is going to the lazy masturbator market. I think it's going to the ambitious
masturbator.
They're
very dedicated.
Yeah, like these dudes are having sessions, man. Like, I don't think it's the casual guy who's like, okay.
Know,
like,
man.
It just the session just creeps up on him. I mean, these are dudes that are like. They're putting it on the appointment book. Like
it's in their schedule.
Yeah,
they're
like when they're buying Kleenex, they're like, all right, I need one for the bathroom and for my desk.
Yeah, I use the ones with lotion for my. I gave it up, man. I gave up porn and masturbation. Gave it all up.
How long?
It's been about 2 months.
Wow, good for you. That or you? Do you feel like a new kind of energy? Like
yeah. I do actually. Actually, so it's weird. I was listening to a podcast and these guys were talking about how, like this, it there's like this weird pheromones and like kind of like half pheromones, half like chi energy thing that they say that builds up. And I don't know if it's in your head, like a placebo type effect, like psychosomatic thing, but definitely a different vibe. Yeah. Also,
sure.
I wanted to like, porn, I think, was ruining everyone's life. So I'm like, I'm giving this up.
I mean, porn is not good, man. Like, I mean, it's not, I mean, I think it's a good tool, you know, for pent up people maybe, but I think I think there are people that they go down the path and it's like, how are you really going to have that experience? Are you, you know, I feel like it's so removed from any kind of real connection, even like porn actors. Like I saw this interview with a porn actor once and he's like, yeah, it's like, I'm basically just using her body to masturbate. Like
that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, man. Like that. So yeah, I mean, you know, sex should be a way to like create a connection. And if all you're doing is just, you know, I think if you do it too much, you're going to eventually like have porn flashbacks. You know, I think it's possible.
Like PTSD of just.
Yeah. Yeah. You could just be like watching like a regular show and a woman's breast sways a certain way. And then you're like, oh, I remember seeing that, but naked. And oh, I got to stop watching this and go jerk off.
It ruins relationships. And I'm fucking too much of a sociopath already. I didn't need more shit like fucking in with my head. So
well, and I think you're gonna perform a lot better if you saved up a bit.
Yeah, just mega cup.
You know,
just
yeah.
One.
And you're single right now, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, I would think being single is kind of like footloose and fancy free. And I don't think, you know, if you wanna, I think you'd wanna like be ready to like.
Oh, I'm ready.
I bet, dude. you don't want to just waste it on imagination.
No. Well, I did say no more porn. If I do beat off again, it's only to imagination. Like to like reading the back of a Dove bottle or something.
Oh, man.
Like
I think at that point. See, I've always had a good imagination, so I feel pretty positive about that. But I just, you know, I don't have a lot of needs.
Needs.
I don't know, maybe it's just like as you're older, you're like you only got, you know, there's
only got so many, so
only
many
so jack. Much juice can get squeezed out of the fruit, man. You know,
there's only so many pumps left in this jack. Okay, we'll last question. We'll let you get out of here. Speaking of sex dolls, real quickly, because Amanda will never listen to this. Do you think you could? Do you think you ever could sex doll? Because they have sex doll brothels now.
Oh yeah, man. I don't know, man. It's like that is. I wouldn't want to. I mean, the brothel thing's so fucked up because I don't want to clean it. I don't want to make sure it's clean. And I'm
yeah,
not
how do you
trust
know?
Some
how
stranger.
Do you right? Someone hitting it with a fucking KFC
so,
wet nap.
Okay,
in
so
between,
we're
in between loads.
Okay, so we're talking fresh from the factory.
Yeah. How? So let's say you can make it custom however you want it.
I mean, the way it looks isn't the issue. It's where's this coming from? Do I get to unpeel the plastic and
yeah, you
have
get
that
to
new
you get
fresh
to
smell?
Take the cellophane.
Is it the one that kind of talks a little, or just like just a dead body?
whichever makes you so hot.
Okay, so I so okay. Let me just okay. So if
so,
I did,
find it floating face down in a river.
Okay, a sack of potatoes with a wig, right?
What if that was the fantasy? You had like some Jane Doe fantasy with a sex doll where you pay to find it face down the river and
that's what that is, right? You're basically having sex. I mean, the thing is like, I mean, at least the talking ones you could maybe, you know, get kind of like have some kind of fantasy, but like, dude, you're having sex with like a.
It's an inanimate object. It's just
that's
neoprene.
A rigor mortis up corpse.
Yeah. You're one step away from fucking a dead body. Yes.
I don't know, man. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, if I'm a single guy and I get it, okay, I get it. I get to make it the way I want. It's fresh from the factory.
Yeah.
I get to pull the seal.
Yeah. Yeah. You get to.
It's like the little thing that you pull out that it activates the battery connection.
I hope they put a hymen in all of them. I want a hymen. They should put a prosthetic hymen in every single one that you get to pop.
How funny would it be to make an appointment with a gynecologist and then just show up with the doll and be like, "Hey, could you check my wife out? We had an issue last night, and I just want you to make sure."
She said she's been tender down there. Can you help me put her in the stirrups?
There's been some odd discharge.
Yeah. Hi, Doc. Quit playing down there. Let's get to business.
I don't know, man. Yeah, it's like if there was one around, like I would be if there was one.
Like, just
I'm just saying, like, if there was one in my house, I would be scared that my curiosity would get the better of me and that I would try it.
Yeah. Oh, for sure you would.
But I don't know, man. I feel like I would try the initial setup and be like, oh, okay, this is what it is. But I can't imagine a scenario where I would have sex with the doll to completion. I mean, just
listen. Once you start, you're not gonna stop.
Yeah,
you're not
gonna be. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that I would actually. I'm pretty sure it would almost be more of a like, what does this feel like? And then I just feel like the doll isn't gonna. The doll doesn't know me the way I know myself. You know, like I can't. It's not gonna be tender. You know,
that's the issue. The tenderness of the doll.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would be. I get the.
It's not going to soothe me afterwards.
Yeah, you know? It's not going to support me in my career.
Man, I feel like that. Like, what would be worse? Like, coming home and seeing. I mean, it would be worse to probably see your spouse having an affair, but like, how much less worse would it be to see him fucking the fuck doll? Like, how scary would that be? You'd just be like, I don't even know this person anymore.
You know what? I think to me it would depend on what that fuck doll looked like. Like, if it looked just like me, then it's like then it's like kind of endearing. You know, that's kind of sweet. But if it's like, you know, if it looks like if they play center for the Knicks. Like, this is a different fucking situation now. You're basically cheating on me with a fucking used tire.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think these dolls are going to be as prevalent as people think, but I think eventually it will get to the point where you're like, what is the, like, where is the difference between reality? Once they can have a few responses.
You can set them to be jealous.
Or I don't mean verbal response. I mean, like, once they can physically respond to your movements, the physical responses are there. Okay. Once they can hug you, and once they can sort of, like, take the long hair out of your eye and mm-hmm. brush it aside,
yeah,
your
drop
forehead.
A digit on you while you're going down. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, once you can just lay there and the doll can fuck you, then, then I think there'll be a problem. But, dude, I got to believe we're a ways off. And
I don't know, man. I think we're closer than you think.
But who's dropping that kind of money on that shit? I don't know. I guess there's people out there. I mean, yeah.
Everything's affordable, man.
If you can afford one of those dolls. You can,
but they're just going to become more affordable.
Yeah, maybe, but still, dude. Like, I would just think that you would at that point. I can't imagine it's going to be less than 10 grand.
Yeah, you can finance it though. You know, you 60 months zero interest.
How do you think the females at the brothel across the fake brothel? Yeah.
Maybe if you shut your trap, Berta, didn't have so much to say about how long I lasted, I'd be banging you.
It's like the dude. It's like the people that do one motion for years, and then a robot comes in and does that motion.
Yeah.
Like, well, I guess this is the end of me.
This is it. Oldest profession in the world. You just got replaced. Yeah, I think it's scary. It's a weird time.
But yeah, every interview I've heard with those, like, like the Real Sex in HBO, do you remember that series?
It was
forever. Like, whenever they interview prostitutes, it's always the same story. It's like, I'm not really selling sex, I'm selling companionship, you know? And that's...
Really? Because I just want a blowjob. So, not...
Yeah, but you know, if you can go buy, right? Currently, you can go buy a machine that is supposed to be super intense. Like, they can't, like, been, like, the longest anyone's ever lasts is, like, 4 minutes or whatever, yeah. Right? It's like $1,000. It's basically like a pocket pussy that has like these beads in it that massage you. Like, you can go buy that feeling. So the what's your, if you just want to go pay for a blowjob, you're paying for some kind of human connection, whether it's not
sure.
really mentally safe. Maybe it's you being like, I'm the fucking boss right now. Yeah, it shows you, Cheryl. You told me I'd never get one of these. You wouldn't do it on my birthday. Like that. You're somehow dealing, you know.
Right. There's like a subjugation to
so,
it.
Yeah,
also.
Yeah, right. So if the robot is, if the robot thing you can buy, isn't going to, if you just want the feeling, you obviously want more than just the feeling. So I just feel like at some point it's going to be like, it's like, what's the idea of like when a video game's too real?
Yeah.
You know, they actually need to kind of screw it up a little bit so that people are more into it. Cause like when it's too real, it kind of like, people are like, I don't know.
It just seems like, yeah, like people get bumped cause it's, we're so programmed to, know what's real in nature that if it seems real but a little off, it our human nature is to feel like disgusted by it almost, and like we want to be away from it because we feel like it's like sick or
well
off.
And you also in real nature has the flaws, and
yeah.
So that's, it's hard to almost have flaws and you know non-symmetry and like all of a sudden like, I mean that's the exciting thing about sex, right? Is that like at any time you could like I are you going to program a doll to like stop blowing you when you fart, like, you know, like, and then ruin the whole thing and then be mad and then,
yeah.
you know, belittle you years later at a dinner party or whatever. Like, no, it's that's the excitement. Like you want to maybe like, I need to fucking be on my game here. Like I need to have these experiences. But
I want one that slaps my hand away when I put it on the back of her head. Call that the 5-pound hat.
So this is a bad transition. When's the last time you like volunteered in high school?
Volunteered? Well, when you say volunteer that they knew about,
well, I occasionally I'll step into like a drama classroom or something for, you know, friends that teach drama. And, It is the attachment.
You're not just dropping a note, yeah. like unannounced.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
My name's Kevin.
Yeah, yeah. It's a pain, dude. You got to fill out at least 3 forms, and then they got
to not molest children. Scant 3 forms. Is that it?
Sign this name. Promise you won't molest any kids.
Yeah,
done.
Got
wow,
it, yeah.
This is all we do, really.
Yeah, it's a binding contract. Don't molest any kids. All right, man. You got me.
Yeah, us in the Catholic Church, we got the same program.
Move me to another school.
But every time I go to one, I see like the way the attachment and natural movement that a lot of high school kids have with their phone, just like in fact, you ever seen those like rings that attach to the back of
yeah.
a phone that a person can slide their finger through? So it's just like, it's just on their hand at all times. And I feel like if you get trained that way as a child and you're just growing up with that,
it's called grooming.
Yeah. Well, no, it's what is it? Propaganda. It's like in China right now, there's like a video game for kids that they could get for free that the government puts out. That is you just shock dissidents. You're chasing little figures around and they're dissidents, and you're like, shock the dissidents, and you can score more points the more dissidents that you electronically shock by touching it. Like you can, I mean, there's like propaganda that you can, if you start with children, that it's, you know, really easy.
It's just, well, yeah, I mean, they're just trained. It's just in your DNA.
Why Trump was probably trying to get with Kanye, because he's like, oh, this guy's the cool rapper, I'll get with him, and then maybe all the kids will follow me.
Yeah, that worked out. You gotta get with Cardi B or something cooler than
Trump and Lizzo, man, that's the next
yeah.
step.
Take that DNA test. All right. Well, we'll let you get back to your family. Go bake that cake, man. All right, guys. Phil, let's see. Why don't you shout out your social media where people can find you?
Oh, yeah, man. Hit me up on Facebook at Philip, 2 L's, Cop Comedy, K-O-P Comedy, or my full name, Philip, and Kopczynski, just the way it sounds, on Instagram. And I've been trying to tweet lately, and that's kind of a nightmare, but real Phil Cop. I don't know, man. If you guys do it, just click on a link that you're listening to right now. You know, I don't know. I don't know how social media works. If people listen to this and they like the way I talked and you want to follow me, just find me, man. You know, just find me, follow me. I put out so much content that it's just out there. And if you like it, just tag someone. It's just out there in the ether, and nobody's finding it. I don't understand if there's any meaning to it, or if I'm just like clawing at some kind of like attention or what. But I feel like it's some kind of I don't know, midlife crisis.
That feels about right.
Yeah, man. So anyway, thanks for having me.
All right, guys. Follow Phil. Check him out. Go see one of his shows when he is in your area. As for me, this week, I won't be down there. We go to Shooters in Lewiston. Check that out. Monica Nevy headlining, Luke Severide featuring. It's going to be a great show. You can find me, please. Oh, big, I want everyone to come to the Black Diamond on October 4th. If you're within this, sound of where, this is recorded in Spokane, Washington, it's going to be a big show. It's going to be a fun event. We're putting together a really awesome thing. One Tree Hard Cider is going to be doing our tap takeover. So they are sponsoring that event. And, yeah, other than that, go to Deez Comedy, / calendar, check out all the dates, go to pantspending.com, check out all the shows on the network. And, for Philip Kapczynski and everyone else, thank you very much, guys. And now for my weekly apologies. I'd like to apologize to Comics and Relationships, Phil's wife, sex dolls, KFC, sex doll workers, and guys with pocket pussies. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will see you next week. Pussy TNT!
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production.
And part of the Pants Pending Studios podcast network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!